Made me think I was in England and Yore. And of course, one of the hymns we sang was Charles Wesley from the 1700s. It sounds something like they may have sung back then. Amen. And the Lord is our defense. Praise the Lord. I can sing that all week long and celebrate it. Well, I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you want to turn with me. There, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And tonight, I just want to read this section of a word of encouragement and a word of comfort that Paul says that we should be sharing one with another. Now, y'all do believe Jesus is coming again. Amen? Amen. I can't wait. Amen. We should be living as though that could happen at any moment. He could return at any moment of the day, of night. We don't know the hour. We don't know the day. No one knows that. But we should live as though Christ could come at any time. And Paul's going to emphasize that all throughout the book of 1 Thessalonians. He will say, listen, just as he came the first time and left, he's going to come again. And his return impacts everything in our daily walk, in our salvation, the way we serve him, and even the stability he gives us as we navigate life. At the end of every chapter in this book of 1 Thessalonians, you'll find a reference to the second coming of Christ. Over in chapter 1, he says that, listen, do you realize we turn from dead idols to serve the living God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, that one that delivers us from the wrath that is to come. Listen, beloved, we have a living faith. We once had a dying faith. We once worshiped dead stuff, right? But now we worship the one true living God. And because of that, we are looking forward to the return of our Savior. What we've just sung about in the hymns and the songs and what the choir just reminded us of is that we now have a living Savior that we worship, that we serve, and he is going to come and raise us from the dead to live with him for everlasting. And I'm looking forward to that. In the second chapter, in verses 19 and 20, he says that the return of Christ is seen and reflected in our service one to another. Particularly, Paul is speaking about the Thessalonians, those that he had ministered to, and said, listen, you are our joy. You are our crown of rejoicing. We minister to you because we know one day Christ is going to return. And when he does, you will be our glory because you've experienced the gospel. And you are what we rejoice in because God has changed your life. And so he mentions about the return of Christ in relationship to how we serve the Lord day by day as ministers. But also, in chapter 3, he says, listen, the Lord, his return gives us stability for life. And so it's not surprising that we would want to talk about the return of Christ. I need a living hope. You need a living hope. Because, beloved, we live in a world that's dead. People are dying all around us. And if there's no hope, then why are we living, right? Why are we gathered here tonight if we don't have a living hope? Why would we gather? But we do have a living hope. We have a life of faith now to live each and every day, and we need to realize that death is all around us. It's everywhere. All of us are going to pass by or near the cemetery, and that's not just driving around the church to find a parking space. We all are going to navigate through there at some point. In fact, in the past several months, there's been church family members all around us. Listen, we've gathered there in the cemetery at the graveyard beside the place where one of our loved ones or friends or someone, perhaps even a church member, has been laid to rest. Their body has been laid to rest. We all pass through that valley of the shadow of death. Is there any hope for us in the midst of that? Amen, there is. Amen, there is. There's no reason. Listen, there are tears that we shed in those moments, but there's also tears of joy for the believer because we know that's not the end of the story. There's more to come. When we pause to remember the precious lives of those who were our family and friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, those that we served with, those that we ministered with, those that we went on mission trips with, those that we worshiped with, even here in the sanctuary. When we gather in those moments and we reflect on their lives for just for about an hour of time of gathering, there's still an eternity that's before us, and there's a hope that all believers have. And you know what? That's not the whole story. And it's amazing, even when we go through that, we can feel sorrow, and we should. By the way, I didn't know if you knew this. I have to remind families sometimes, we were made to leak, by the way. And it's okay to shed tears. But as we shed tears, Listen, there are also tears of joy for those who know that their family member or friend knew the Lord and that one day we will see them again and celebrate all that God has been preparing for us. We carry that hope in our hearts. It's our faith. And if we didn't have that, then we are to be pitied, Paul would say. We're the most pitiful of all people because we've believed a lie. But we haven't. We've believed the truth. What's sad is sometimes there's sorrow, of course, there when we gather for a funeral. We gather at the graveside. But there's also some who have no hope. They're hopeless. Sometimes there's an uncertainty about someone's relationship with the Lord. Were they saved or did they know the Lord? Had they put their faith and trust in Christ? Had there been actually a testimony at some point in their life where they said, you know what, I was a sinner and I realized I needed to be saved and put my faith and trust in Christ. When you go through that, it's very difficult to minister in those moments. All we have is the Word of God, and we have to entrust that each individual has made a decision based on the light that God has given them. And at the end of the day, we'll discover in heaven some that we thought that were saved that aren't saved, and some that we thought wouldn't be saved that are saved. It'll be a surprise, I think, to some of us when we get there. But what we have to do is realize that we're not those who should approach the graveside with hopelessness. In fact, one of the most important things I would say to everyone in this room, take a moment. Holidays are coming up, and this is an opportunity for us to be grateful not only for the bounty that God gives us, but let's be thankful for salvation. And this is a great opportunity just to let family and friends know. I just want to know, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ who saved me from my sins and delivered me from the penalty that I deserved. And I'm grateful, and I just want my family to have a peace that they know that I am saved. And my faith rests in Christ. In case anything happens to me, I don't want you to be wondering what happened. And is he in heaven or is she in heaven or will we see them again? I want you to know with absolute certainty, based on what God's word says, that I have a joy in my heart and a hope that awaits me. And I'm living with that living faith today because of who Christ is and what he's done. You know, it's interesting, even when you gather at the graveside, sometimes there's people who are there who are totally oblivious to issues of life and death. It's as though they don't even think about it, right? Let's be honest, sometimes, you know, especially when we're young, right? We think we're going to live a whole eternity of days here on this earth. We think we're invincible and that, you know, nothing can happen to us and we're going to live forever. But the reality is that's really shallow thinking. When you're surrounded by death everywhere, you see it. The reality is today could be our last day. None of us is promised tomorrow, right? None of us knows when the Lord's going to say, that's all the days I've written in a book for you. Remember, it's what David said in Psalm 139. When you and I were knit together in our mother's womb, when he wove us together there, he not only made our frame who we are as a person, but he also wrote our future. He wrote all our days in a book that we would live. God knows the dash. He knows the beginning and the end and the dash, everything in between of our life. And so some who live with this ignorance of the reality of life and death, I don't know if they just want to be willfully ignorant because they don't want to deal with it. Because if you really deal with it, what that means is it looking in light of what's about to happen in our future, we should live our life in reverse and live our life backwards from that moment thinking, well, what happens when I die? What is the next step? Because there is eternity that is beyond our last day on this earth. Paul's writing, listen, because some in the church were worried. Loved ones had died, and they were concerned because they thought, that's it, there's no hope. Jesus hasn't returned, and we're not going to see them again. And Paul speaks a word of comfort to them. And perhaps in part because they were ignorant, they didn't have full knowledge, or they weren't thinking clearly of everything biblically. And so he speaks this word of comfort about what Christ's return should be for those who are believers and what we should be mindful of when Christ will return. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 13 through 18 tonight. And so just follow along with me what Paul writes about the resurrection and the second coming and the comfort that we should find tonight, especially if we've lost loved ones. I know we mention grief share frequently here, a ministry we have to those who've lost loved ones. I know some have been through Surviving the Holidays class this evening. And this is an opportunity for us just to allow the Word of God to speak to our hearts and to remind us of great truths that we as believers, we share and we embrace, and they're to bring comfort to us, particularly in the face of losing loved ones. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, or those who have died, that's what that means, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And Father, may your word tonight be precisely that. May it be a word of encouragement, a word of comfort, Lord, a way, a means by which, Lord, we who have lost loved ones or wonder about past loved ones who have passed, and Lord, may we find tonight in your word a living hope in Jesus and a hope that gives us to live each and every day. And Father, I pray just comfort for my family, for our church family, Lord. Now, particularly those who are passing here through the holidays soon without those loved ones. Lord, may these words bring encouragement to them and help them as they navigate the holidays, Lord. Not just so they survive, but that their faith thrives in the midst of it, knowing that we have a living hope in Christ and something that awaits us with him and with those who've gone before us. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you tonight that you're the one that makes this possible. It's in your name we all pray. Amen. Amen. Paul says that you and I, listen, we live however many days God has written in a book for us here on this earth, and then one day we are going to pass away. And if you read the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, you see that they had to wrestle with the question of life and death. There was, if you find in the Old Testament, you'll find in Daniel particularly and other references to those who have been resurrected or a resurrection that will take place. It's a question that philosophers wrestle with, the question of immortality. In fact, there's a question about not just immortality, about what kind of bodies we would have and why would we even have bodies? Because even for the Greek philosophers, they didn't want to return to the bodies. They saw the body as nothing good. Scientists, even today, experiment with people and talk with them, investigate the experiences of people who claim that they've died and then gone and seen heaven or hell and then come back. And while we're not certain about what they say, when we want to question those things about the afterlife, it's best to take what the Word of God says, because that is at least one source we know is absolutely true, and allow that to guide any discussions that we might have about the afterlife and what it's like. But whenever you study, what you find there is that Paul says, listen, there's an authority by which we don't have to be ignorant anymore, and it's the word of the Lord. Paul says, we don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. What do you do about those who have died? What has happened to them? We shouldn't be ignorant about this. Paul says, you know, we're not ignorant because God, who is light, illumines our minds and gives us understanding of the truth of his word. And we know, listen, that when the body dies, the spirit for the believer goes to be with the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, Paul would say over in the letter to the Philippians. And that's why to die is Christ, right? To live is Christ, rather, to die is gain. That's what we are looking forward to that day. Just as Christ commended his spirit up to the Father and the body remained on the cross, so for you and me, our bodies, when we die, will be placed in a grave somewhere. We will lie there. Our bodies will lie there. But our spirit, our soul spirit, goes to be with the Lord. And one day, those things will be reunited. The believers in Thessalonica were wondering, what happened? What happens to those who've gone before us? Have they missed the resurrection of the Lord because he hasn't returned? And they wrestled with that. And the problem was, Paul says, listen, you're wrestling with the wrong thing. You're not resting on the divine revelation that God has given. God hasn't left us to wonder about these things. He's made it absolutely clear. Those who have died, their bodies lay right here, but their souls are alive, and they are in the presence of the Lord. Why is that the case? Because listen, when we repent and place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says that we are then born again. We experience eternal life. We know God. This is eternal life, knowing Christ. And the truth is, listen, eternal life isn't just something that's a time thing. It's a relationship thing. And so when we know Christ, we are in right relationship with Him. And so we leave this fallen world and we go in our soul spirit to be with the Lord. What does that look like? I don't know. One day we'll see what that looks like. But what we know is the certainty of that based on the Word of God, because when God speaks, He reveals these things over time and progressively reveals these things gradually till we realize, listen, here's the fullness and we are in a privileged position because we know all the truth. They were ignorant. They didn't know enough about the return of Christ and what the implications of that. But what Paul reminds of is, listen, don't you be concerned about those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow like those who have no hope. What he means is, listen, there are those in the world who don't have the faith that we have. They don't have the trust in the one whose name is resurrection and the life. And because of that, when they die, when they approach the grave, when they approach a service to remember the life of a loved one or the life of someone that was a friend, if they didn't know Christ, the problem is they have no hope. They have no assurance of what comes after this. And we're not like those. We know the truth. We know the rest of the story. We know, just like our Savior, as He gave up His Spirit to the Father and entrusted His Spirit to the Father, so too for you and me, if someone dies that has faith, we know, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Many times we gather right here, and before me will be a body. But as I have to remind people even then, this is not who they are right here. This is just the shell, right? This is just the body. A lot of times we're so caught up in this material world, that's what we think about. We don't think about the immaterial things. C.S. Lewis would remind us many times. He would say this, listen, we are not bodies that have a soul. We are souls that have a body. Have the emphasis on the right thing. Emphasize the things that are eternal, that last forever, particularly your soul, your spirit. And one day, that soul, that spirit will dwell eternally in one of two places. For the believer, there's a living hope. That when we leave this life that God has given us here on this earth, we will be in His presence. Paul speaks of this and he says, listen, don't you think like the world does in this? The soul doesn't go to sleep. The soul doesn't go to sleep and awake. No, at death, the spirit leaves the body and the body goes to sleep and it no longer functions. That's why Paul would say, listen, we sow a body of mortality to inherit a body of immortality. Well, when will that happen? When will we get that body of immortality? Well, this is what the text says. We'll try to tie these things together when we get to the end. But there's a picture here that one day we're going to get glorified bodies united with their spirit. And praise the Lord, we'll be like that forever and ever. And those bodies will never decay. They'll never suffer corruption. They'll never experience death again. I'm looking forward to that. We get new ones, amen? And someone has asked me, I wonder how old we'll look, what we'll look like in age. I've always wrestled with that. And you know, the best thing I can come up with, here's the biblical answer. Ready? I don't know. All right? I thought you'd like that. All right, but I'll give you a thought. When Jesus was raised from the dead and they recognized Him, He was 33, roughly. At least something like that, because they recognize Him. So maybe we get all going to be in our 30s, right? You know, just like the Lord. You remember those days, right? Well, don't say amen right now, because then I mean you're older, okay? All right. No one knows what we're going to look like, but I know this. It's going to be a perfect body, amen? And we can look forward to that day for the believer. Now, when will this event occur? When will this happen? When our bodies will be united with our spirits? When does this all happen? Well, according to this, what Paul says, we don't know. No one knows when this event happens. There will be some things that signify that it's about to happen. But what we're supposed to do is live each day as though it could happen today. And what theologians call this is the imminent return of Christ. That means imminent means any moment. We're not looking for signs. We're not looking for any special events. All we're doing is looking for the Lord. Now, there are signs, and yet don't be caught up in those too much. I know in the past, recently, we've had, I remember 1988. I don't know if you remember this. I was in college at NC State, and this book came out, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 88. And man, I read those and I thought, man, I better get ready, right? And a lot of people, that caused a lot of hubbub at that time. And you know, I thought, man, I really need to get my, here I am in college. I need to be focused in the Lord. But, you know, it didn't happen in 88, by the way, right? People set time, set on the blood moons or this and that. Listen, none of us knows the day. Can we just go with what Christ said? No one knows but the Father. And there's going to be a time when he's going to say to his son, go get my children. But that doesn't mean that there aren't signs, things that happen around us. You say, well, what are those signs? Well, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, but they've been that pretty much all throughout the history of mankind when I look, right? And there'll be earthquakes and famines, things like that. Maybe we'll see it in greater degree. You know, some people don't even notice this sign of the end times, what it says over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, when it talks about, you know, in the end times that even children will be disobedient to their parents. My goodness, I don't even think about that one. There'll be an apostasy, a falling away of the faith, and will there even be faith on the earth? As Christ asked that question once when he comes. So listen, so many times we get caught up in those signs, and really what we should be looking for, some people have been looking for the Antichrist. Do you know who he is? Oh, I know, I can tell you who he is, right? And we come up with all these things. Listen, beloved, each day you and I should just live expecting Christ could come today. And if he did come today, would I be prepared to meet him? That's the question. And live my life. By the way, if we live each day thinking about that, then what that would mean is that would change the way I treat people, the way I, what I find myself prioritizing in my life, the way I go about navigate my daily routine. Realizing today could be the day. These great events, Paul would say over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, they're going to occur in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I know it mentions the sounding of a trumpet. The Lord's going to descend. That's the sound that's going to be heard. But here's what we know. No one knows when it's going to happen. It's going to be like that. And then we'll be gone. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that if we haven't already passed away. But we're not ignorant about this. We understand. We have the full story of the Word of God to help us to understand this. So we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. We have a hope. Why? Because we believe Jesus died and rose again. And even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, how can he bring those who sleep with him in Jesus if their spirit didn't go to him first? Right? This is why we know there's no soul sleep. Evidently, when they die, the body may lay in the tomb or in a grave, in a gravesite, but their soul spirit went to be with him. And when Christ returns, he's going to bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Why? Well, because they've got to get their glorified bodies. In a moment, God's going to change those bodies, and there's going to be a reunion of those two things. Just as think about when he made Adam. He took the material of this earth, the dust of the earth, and he breathed life into his nostrils, and Adam became a living being. In that same way, we're going to have a glorified body, and the Spirit's going to be there together, and praise God, we'll live in a glorified state then. Well, when does this happen? Again, we don't know, but we're not those who are sorrowful because Christ rose from the dead. One of my favorite hymns, you know this one? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men may say. I hear his voice of mercy. Or I hear his, oh, I done lost it in my head here. Who can help me with this real quick? I feel his voice. Oh, my goodness. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's merry way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart, right? Man, great hymn. Where's Winston? We got to sing that one, brother. Put that one in the queue, okay? Amen? We can use the hymnal too, because I forgot the lyrics for a moment there. Amen? And I forgot the words. But he does. We have a living Savior. And he is a living Savior. His name is Resurrection and Life. Now, here's the amazing thing. Mary and Martha, remember, they needed the assurance of that with their own brother, Lazarus, when he had died. Oh, Lord, if you'd just been here, he would have lived. Oh, don't you understand? You don't know what you're asking. You don't know what I'm able to do. In fact, he was sorrowful. He wept, Jesus, in those moments. Why? Because their lack of faith, most likely. Because they didn't believe that he had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. Not just then, but even perhaps later. I mean, you know, Martha said, or Mary said, I know that there's another resurrection that's coming. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. I'm the resurrection. I'm the source of that. I'm the one who makes that possible. There's going to be a moment, in verse 16 it says, that Jesus is going to issue a shout, a command, and the dead in Christ will rise. Praise the Lord. Listen, we're going to rise resurrected, and we're going to have glorified bodies. He doesn't reconstruct this. He gives us a brand new one. And we have this hope because he has risen from the dead. You know, every time we pass through the waters here and someone is baptized, I give them a handkerchief. And you say, why do you give a handkerchief? It's not just so that the water doesn't go up their nostrils. But listen, the reason we do that, and I remind them of this, is because when Jesus was laid in the tomb, he was laid there in a tomb, and we know his body was wrapped, right? It was wrapped like a cocoon. Imagine a butterfly, right? And it was wrapped that way. And when they came to find the Lord, they found the grave clothes undisturbed. That's what John tells us in his gospel, right? Peter and John ran to the tomb. John, being a younger man, beat Peter there. But when he got to the tomb door, he stopped because, you know, Jews don't go near dead things. So he didn't run down in. But Peter, being Peter, what did he do? Well, he finally got there and he ran all the way in. Is the Lord risen from the dead or not? And so he ran in. And it says there that they saw the grave clothes undisturbed. And then it says, and then they saw the napkin folded to the side. What they do is they'd wrap someone who died in the cloths, and then they would take a face mask, and they'd put that over their face as they lay there. And just think about that. They said they saw that the clothes undisturbed, but they saw the face mask folded to the side. And I think about that sometimes, and I just think, you know what? Jesus said, thank you very much. I'm not dead. Amen? And so when we go pass through the waters, I always give someone, baptismal candidates, when they go through the waters, I give them this and I remind them, listen, this is just your reminder. You can stitch your initials on there and the date. It's a reminder that, you know what? You can testify. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. Why? Because I've put my faith in the one who died and rose again, and I'm resting in him. And they can carry that with them every day. It's just a reminder. My Savior is the resurrection and the life. And just as he rose from the dead, so too one day I'm going to rise from the dead, and I'm going to have a glorified body, just like the glorified body of Christ. He was the seed. Listen, remember he said, unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it can't bring forth life. Beloved, this stuff's going to die one day. And because of what Christ has done, because he put on this flesh, he's the one that's going to give us eternal life in glorified bodies. And when is that going to happen? Well, we believe Jesus died and rose again, and God's going to bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. But this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that's the authority by which Paul speaks and by which we can base our assurance tonight, because of what God's word says, listen, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet. So in that moment, when there is the resurrection, when there is the return of Christ, glorified dead bodies that'll be there will be united with the spirits, with those who come with them. And if we happen to be here, this is when there will be a rapture. There'll be a snatching away. Harpazo is the term in the Greek. And the picture there is something that snatches us away in just one moment, and we're taken up. Now, we've built our understanding of that on what we call the rapture. When that happens, when Christ returns, he will snatch us away. And then, as it says, we will all be together there in the air. We who are alive and remain, when he comes, will be snatched away. Now, I'm looking for that, and for you and for me, we should be looking forward to that day, because we're not hopeless nor helpless as we go through this world. God's given us his spirit, to help us to navigate that day until he comes, and we're reunited with him and with them that have gone before us. And so the fact of the Lord's return, the fact of the Lord's resurrection, the fact of these things should give us a living hope each and every day, no matter what we face, that, you know what? Yes, I lost a loved one that was very dear to me, but they had their faith in Christ, and one day I'm going to see them again. And that should encourage our hearts, no matter what we face. Paul was very careful here to state Jesus died. He didn't apply sleep to them in his experience. Jesus died and rose again. And when he mentioned sleep for us, he mentioned sleep for us because our bodies sleep in that sense, but our soul, spirit is alive and it's with the Lord. And when we return, when he returns, praise God, we will be united with that body and united with those who've gone before us. Now listen, he promises he's going to come. God's got to keep his word, beloved, or else he's a liar and he's not one we should believe in. Just as we find Old Testament promises that said he would come the first time and he would come and he did do precisely that, so there are promises that he will come a second time. And Jesus himself said, even to the disciples, John chapter 14, listen, you're worried about where I'm going and how to get there. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But if I'm going away and preparing a place for you, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe also in me. I'm going to come and receive you unto myself. That's the promises of our Savior. And in that promise is what we rest in. It isn't that we heard it from an angel. We heard it from the Word of God, from the Word who is God, God who is the Word, Jesus himself. And he will descend in a moment. There'll be a shout and a trumpet that'll sound. And then if you're on the earth, there'll be a rapture, a snatching away, a seizing away, literally. You'll be caught up. And in that moment, then we will be speedily taken up to the heavens. And as it says, we will meet them in the air. And what a reunion that will be. Amen. Can you imagine what that day is going to be like? And you know what? It could happen right now before I finish speaking. No one knows. But I should live with an expectation that it can be at any moment. The idea there that there's a snatching away is something that you find over in the book of Acts chapter 8 verse 39. When the Spirit caught away Philip after he had led the Ethiopian to Christ there. And then suddenly he was snatched away and was somewhere else. How does that happen? I don't know, but God can do whatever he wants to do. Amen. I just know he's going to do it. I just know in that moment he can do that. He can, just as he swiftly snatched away Elijah the prophet in that fiery chariot, he can snatch us away in any moment as well. And he has the power to do that. I mean, if he spoke all this into existence, he certainly has the power to speak that word and we're gone, just like that. Now, when he does this, here's the thing. Satan can't hit the power of this earth, the power of death. It has no power over us. Amen? It can't hold us down. Why? Because he who is in us is greater than he who's in the world. And one day, praise God, we're going to the one who claimed us and gave his life for us, ransomed us, bought us. And because of the rapture, we will be with them forever. And Paul says, listen, because of that, when that happens, we shall always be then with the Lord. What that means is when that happens, there's no coming back. Praise God. Who would want to come back? Who would want to come back to this fall? To this fallen world at any moment. I don't want to. That's why there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that the Lord will make. And thus we shall always be with him, with the Lord. Because of this, there's supposed to be comfort for us tonight. And I'm to comfort you and you're to comfort me. We're to provide comfort when our brothers and sisters. Now listen, here's the important thing. Sometimes when we minister to people and they're sharing with us the loss that they're feeling. Because listen, when we lose a loved one, a spouse or a mom or a dad or a sibling. Listen, in those moments, we don't just give, you know, a quick verse and say that'll comfort you. All right? Oftentimes that doesn't comfort us in those moments. Oftentimes, the best thing we can do is just be there with our brother and sister and just lend an ear and listen and then let them share and encourage them. Tell me more about that loved one. Tell me more about why you appreciate him so, what the Lord did in their life and how they ministered to you or how they were special to you, how God used them in your life, and be there to listen. Listen, so we're so quick sometimes just to say a verse and know that'll solve every problem, right? It doesn't work that way. Let's be honest tonight. But we still do share a word as the Lord, as the Spirit guides us, because it is the promise of God that alone can bring comfort to the soul. But don't just be quick. Oftentimes be quick to listen before you speak and just hear where someone really is. And then ask the Spirit to help you to give that word and encouragement. And then offer just to pray with them and let them know they're not alone. But you're there with them too as the body of Christ as they go through these moments. And as we do that, Just be mindful that, you know what, your sufficiency, my sufficiency in that moment is the Spirit of God who dwells within us to minister to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to bring them encouragement and comfort. And at the right time, when their heart's ready to hear it and receive it, after they've poured their souls out and they're ready, really, they're thinking clearly, it's in those moments where we do remind one another of these great truths that our faith and our life rests upon. But make sure we listen carefully in those moments to what brothers and sisters are going through before we just say a word. Because it oftentimes their sorrow is so great that it doesn't register what we're saying because they're wrestling with what they have just lost. Remind them, though, and just your presence as the body of Christ sometimes is there to encourage them and to help them. Paul says, listen, there's a resurrection from the dead. Look at our Savior. We're not ignorant. We know he rose from the dead. That's what this whole book points to. It's here because there are eyewitnesses to that resurrection. We realize also that one day there's going to be not just a resurrection of the dead, but there's going to be of the Lord from the dead, but there'll be a resurrection of the dead for every man. The Word of God says there's two of them. There's a first resurrection and a second resurrection. You want to be a part of the first resurrection, not the second one. The second one's over in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Anyone who's resurrected there does not have a living hope. All they have is an expectation of judgment. Because everyone who stands there will not be able to make a case for their life. Because the law, the book, books will be open. The Lamb's Book of Life will be open, it tells us. And then the books will be open. And the Lamb's Book of Life has the names of all those. Listen, that their names that are written there are saved, they're redeemed. But all those who gather at that record's resurrection, their names will not be found in that book. Their name will have been blotted out. There's no hope for them. And the other books that are open are used to examine, to judge their lives. And those who stand there will not be able to make a case or present a case to the Lord, to the great judge, and say, well, wait, I should be saved because of this, because every mouth is stopped and no one has a defense. And all they have is the certainty of judgment that then they will experience eternal judgment. You don't want to be a part of that resurrection. In fact, listen, going through those waters is a testimony. I'm a participant in the first resurrection. Why? Because I realize I'm a wretched sinner and I can't save myself. And so I'm going to die to myself and put my faith in Christ and ask him to be my Savior and my Lord. I'm going to entrust my life to him. Now listen, we can be ready for the first resurrection if we'll recognize that and testify that that's what's happened in our life. The Spirit convicts us of sin, we repent, and we believe in Jesus, the one who died, was buried, and rose again. And that's the gospel, and that's what we need to embrace. One day, beloved, not only is there going to be a resurrection, there's going to be a snatching away, a rapture for those who are alive, and then there'll be a great reunion in the air, praise God, and then we shall always be. Therefore, we comfort one another with these words. May they comfort you, may they comfort me, and give us tonight a certainty, not an ignorance, a hope, not a hopelessness, a confidence, not a sorrow, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's one who's with us, the shepherd, the resurrection and the life. Let's pray to him tonight. Father, help us to be convinced in our faith that, Lord, there's been a time in our life where we realized we were wretched sinners with no hope and that we had to trust in the Savior Jesus, who gave his life in our place. He took the penalty that we deserved. And Lord, if there's anyone before me that has yet to repent and place their faith and trust in him, I pray that they would just approach me, Lord, and just admit that tonight, that they would recognize I need to be saved. I've never trusted in Jesus. And that, Father, you would birth repentance and faith in their heart, and Lord, bring them to you. Woo them by your great Spirit. Woo them by your love. Help them to realize and recognize their need of a Savior. But for we who have repented and placed our faith in you, we, Lord, who have a living hope each and every day, God, help us to live like it. Help us to live like it before a world that's dead and dying and passing away. God, help us to live like it when we walk through trials and tribulations, even when we lose loved ones. Let our faith sing in such moments. Lord, as though we shed tears in the loss of a loved one, let there also be tears of joy that one day there'll be a reunion with those who have gone before us, who loved you and served you and were your children. They're our family, they're our church family, they're our friends, but Lord, they're also your children. And God, help us to live with that hope each and every day. Father, I also pray that we would share that living hope with others, even in these times of holidays, Lord, when we gather with family and friends. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel that's changed us. And Lord, let us make certain that those that are most closest to us, Lord, they know that our faith is real and it rests in you, and that we're not ashamed to testify of your Son. He's our Savior. He's the one that's coming again soon. He's our King Jesus, and we look forward to his coming. We ask that you guide us this week, Lord, as your people. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.